In the name of the Father and of the Son, of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. When we look at the journey of Ebenezer Scrooge, from the beginning of A Christmas Carol to the end, saving except for the love of money, I wonder how many of us maybe see ourselves. A little frustrated with humanity, a little ready to just go, I'm done. Not really necessarily caring about the neighbor on the street or the estranged family member. You have to admit that through Scrooge's journey, in seeing the past again and seeing what the present currently is, and seeing what, you know, having that proverbial fly on the wall experience with the ghost of Christmas present, I wonder how many of us might also like to have chance to go back and look at how things actually were and see how things actually are. But the most miraculous and the most ground-shaking and courage-shifting experience is the one Scrooge had with the third ghost, the ghost of Christmas yet to come. In every version, it is the same. Scrooge is met in a graveyard by a voiceless, often faceless, vision, which is tantamount to a Halloween Grim Reaper. And he takes, and no words are spoken, but they always find the actor with the pointiest, longest fingered, pointiest, creepiest looking hand to point out from that robe and point and move and point. And it's almost like you've been transported to a Vincent Price movie, but I digress. In every version, Scrooge is taken and he hears fellow businessmen talking about how a poor soul has died, and they don't believe anybody will ever show up at his funeral. Oh, well, except unless, of course, there's lunch included, right? And he sees three figures bringing bundles to the alleyways and the ne'er-do-wells. And as he watches, he realizes that it's his charwoman and his laundress, Undertaker, bearing belongings that look awful familiar. And he goes with the ghost. He's like, show me comfort. I need to see family. And he takes him to the Cratchits, and he shows up at the Cratchits, and an empty stool and an ownerless crutch, because Tiny Tim has succumbed to his weakness. And just out at the end of his despair, he says to the voiceless spirit, who is the unfortunate man whose funeral they were talking about? And he points at the headstone and finds his own name. And it is at that point that Ebenezer Scrooge falls on his knees and says, but I've changed. I'm not the same person I was. Please tell me these are the shadows of things that might be and not that they are engraved in stone. Tell me that I can sponge this name out of this stone. I'm not the same person I was this evening before any of this happened. What Scrooge is given is an in-your-face, straight-up glimpse of this is where the road you are on is leading you. This is the path that you find yourself on. And if there is any true redemption in the entirety of A Christmas Carol, it is that he is given this vision as a chance to change. We believe in the God who was, who is, and who is to come. We believe and worship the God of the past, the present, and the future. It is true that we have a past, and there is nothing we can do to change it. And it is true that we are living in our present, and if we are honest, there are plenty of things about our present that we could and should change. And it is further true that we all have a future. And the difference between us and dear old Ebenezer is that we don't have a ghost leading us along to say, hey, this is where you're headed. This is what your current path is leading you to. We don't have that. But what we have is better. What we have is better. We have a baby in a manger who becomes the man on the cross, who becomes the risen one from the tomb. We have a God that loves us. Not because of anything we've done, not because of anything we might do, not because we have any say in it at all, but our God loves us. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is speaking about the Father, and he says, "My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father. And nobody knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him." See, the only entity in all of creation that truly understood who Jesus was from the very beginning, before time even began, is in fact the Father, God the Creator, God above all. And the only one who really understood the Father would be then, in fact, Jesus, his Son, fully God and fully human, God incarnate, the Word made flesh to dwell among us. But did you notice what else Jesus said? Nobody knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Our God loves us to a point that he sent his only Son into the world, that he sent his self, Word made flesh, to dwell among us, to live our experience, but also that we might know God. That we might have even a glimpse of an understanding of the God who created us, of that God who loves us so deeply and so purely and so fully that we cannot comprehend it. Jesus continues and says, "Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." What Jesus is offering there is not the glimpse into what things will be if you stay on the path you are on. What Jesus is offering is the experience of what life will be when you get on the path he's calling you to, right? What Jesus is offering is not the glimpse into how things are going to be if you don't change. He's offering a glimpse into what it is when you come to him. "Come to me, all you who are burdened, carrying heavy loads. All ye who are heavy laden," if you want to go the old language, "and I will give you rest." Scrooge changed, right? We can't deny that. That's the best part of the movie. Any version, I guarantee it across the board, it's the best part of the movie when he wakes up and he's, I've changed, I'm not the same man, and he wakes up and is in his own bed. And he goes to the window and he sees that it is not 3 days later, it is in fact Christmas morning. He hasn't missed it. Do you remember the change that he went through? The giddiness that he felt? The light joviality that he expressed to anyone he came across? He threw open the window, and here comes the little boy, or rabbit, who was caroling, who got a wreath thrown at him at the beginning of the movie. And says, "You there, boy." "Who, me?" "Yeah, you. You know the butcher down the street?" "Yeah." "Is the big turkey still hanging in the window?" "Oh, you mean the one twice as big as I am?" "Yeah, an intelligent lad, a remarkable lad. Go and buy it." The rabbit, "Be serious." "I am in earnest. I am serious." Throws him a bag of coin and says, "Go buy it." And they haul it off to Tiny Tim's house, right? He's jovial beyond all joviality. Whichever version you want to watch, the Alistair Sim one has him going to Christmas at Fred and Clara's house, and he dances with Clara, and he apologizes for being an old fool. The Muppet version has him going, oh yeah, he goes and sees them, but then continues on and has Christmas with the Cratchits, Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy, as it were. He wakes up. It's the strangest dream he's ever had, and he wakes up and he says, "Nope, I'm changing my ways." He did nothing to earn that gift, just as we do nothing to earn the gift of the love that came in human form. How much better would it be if we could focus on that? How much better would it, all of it, whatever it is, how much better would it be if we focused on that? The entire point of A Christmas Carol is to keep Christmas well. And I can give you a list. I have it burned as a mix CD because, you know, you don't make mixtapes anymore. I have it burned as a CD, every song that's ever been written about keeping Christmas in your heart and it being Christmas every day, or why can't every day be like Christmas, or Christmas is my most wonderful time of year, my favorite time of year, the most wonderful time of the year. How much better would it be if we kept a touch of Christmas spirit in our hearts and the lessons of the Advent candles in our hearts all year long? How much better would life be and life amongst our neighbors be if we could mirror not only the hope and the peace and the joy and the love, but also the gift? And is that not our great commission? Is that not what we are called to do just by virtue of being followers of the one who came? Is it not our job to proclaim the good news of the Lord in all places? Is it not our job to reach out and be a friend in the sight of so much discord and disharmony? To be a bearer of the light of Christ and not to hide it under a bushel or to let anybody put it out, as the song tells us, but to let it shine. To let that light shine, and let that light also include the hope and the peace and the joy and the love. We're really good at it this time of year. Or are we? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to Meijer or Walmart the next 2 days. Right? And that's not exactly the very Christian point of view, right? To say, I don't want to deal with my neighbors. But how many of us have thought it? Maybe. If we were to go to Walmart or Meijer or Rick's or Kohl's or name a place in the next 2 days, simply for the purpose of going through the checkout line or showing up at the deli or meat counter, just to give the person on the other side of the counter a smile. There's a challenge for you the next couple of days. Take yourself to the store, not necessarily to buy anything. Find yourself in a checkout line, and you got to go through a checkout line, so get a tube of chapstick or a package of gum or something, or a pop, whatever your preference is, and give somebody a smile. That's the only purpose you have for going to the store, is to give the person behind the counter on the other side of the checkout a smile. A Merry Christmas, a greeting, a something that is not somebody being grumpy at them. There's a tangible example of how in the next 48 hours you can show the love of God to somebody who might not see it elsewhere. And I'll tell you what's going to happen, and I can speak from experience on this one. If you do that, and you go and you just for the sheer purpose of finding somebody wearing a name tag and a uniform for whatever store you are in, and you are the one person, maybe in 3 hours' time, that does not gripe at them about something, I tell you what's going to happen. It's going to make their day 3,000% better. It is going to change their outlook on this season. It's going to help them to have a Merry Christmas. And I'll tell you something else. It's going to be you mirroring the love of God to somebody else who's in desperate need of it. It's going to be you letting your light shine, not yours, God's. God's light shine for all to see it. That's an experiment. I know I'm going to do it, and I challenge all of you to as well. This season, it's very easy to get into the Scrooge mode. It's very easy to get into the mode of being just done with it. Bah humbug. But that's not what the baby in the manger, or for that matter, the man on the cross, or the empty tomb are about. So in these last few days, look for ways where the hope and the peace and the joy and the love are present. Look for the ways God is calling to you through those things. Seek out those who sit in darkness and share your light with them. After all, this is the season where we look for light in darkness. Thanks be to God. Amen.